Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Today we're live, of course, from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining us first up on the First Advantage Hotline, our guy, Zach Stevens, our Broncos insider. Zach, my man, I know you got to get run. Are the Broncos practicing inside today? What are they up to?
They are. They're moving inside because of the conditions outside.
What do you think of that? Should they be preparing for the elements just in case, or is that all right, especially given all the injuries?
Yeah, that's where I come down on. I mean, you had two hamstrings last week, and now turf isn't necessarily the best surface to be practicing on. But, I mean, could you imagine if they go outside and you get an injury because it's slick? So I am okay with that. Especially, I don't think it's supposed to be snowing on Sunday, so I'm okay practicing inside where it's probably closer to what it's going to be on Sunday.
What did you make of the inconsistent messaging yesterday, maybe the last couple of days? It seems like between Russell Wilson and Coach Nathaniel Hackett, you know, Hackett's asked about the offensive identity, and he's like, it's not good. And Russell Wilson kind of more or less was like, you know, we're fine. We're okay. We're going to figure it out.
Well, I think one of them is being brutally honest. And, of course, that's Nathaniel Hackett. And that was a real change from what we've seen from Hackett over the past few weeks. Over the past few weeks, including Monday, it's, well, we're just going to evaluate it. We're going to evaluate everything. Everyone's going to be evaluated. We're evaluating everything. That's been the message, and that's kind of fallen on deaf ears now because you say it over and over and over again. Well, okay, what actually changed? It was a wristband that was involved, but clearly that helped for one game. It didn't help for two. And Russell, I mean, it just sounds a little tone deaf when you come out and say, yeah, all we need is two more touchdowns a game. You're only scoring two touchdowns a game. So you're saying all we need is to double what we're doing? I mean, it's not as easy as that. So I thought Nathaniel Hackett's what he said yesterday, and, you know, also with the quote of somebody's got to win this game, I felt like that was a little refreshing to hear just something different. Look, the offense isn't good. The identity isn't good right now. And he's spot on about that. And so that gives me hope that, you know, the message is being, there's a different message to the players, and it's being received different.
Yeah, well, and I agree. I think sometimes when you can get some raw emotion up there, and I think that's what a lot of people want to hear from Russ, but you're certainly getting it from Coach Hackett. Zach, what is the narrative now, though? It sure seems like media members, fans, they're already planning, talking about who the next head coach is going to be for this team. I mean, it sounds like Hackett is just hanging on by an extremely thin thread at this point.
Yeah, and Brady, to be honest, if the Broncos come out and there's a lot of Raiders fans there, there's a lot of no-shows, and the Broncos put up 9 or 10 points, which isn't crazy to say because in the past three games, the Broncos have averaged, in the past three home games, I should say, the Broncos have averaged 9.3 points per game. So let's say they come out and put up 9 points and get blown out by the Raiders at home, then yes, the seat is going to be on fire, as it probably should be, because it would just be that there's been no improvement after the bye, if that's the case. And you're absolutely right. I mean, these are two organizations that are not having the years they want, but it does seem like Josh McDaniels is safer than Nathaniel Hackett right now.
What is the bare minimum that Hackett can do to save his job? I mean, obviously I'm looking at like, okay, maybe would it take a historical turnaround for this team? Or do you look at it and say, find a way to beat teams like the Raiders and the Panthers and then show an upward trajectory on the offense, even if you're losing the bulk of those games? Or is it pretty much we need to see something epic for this for Nathaniel Hackett to keep his job?
You know, George Payton does not want to fire Nathaniel Hackett because that would just be a huge black eye for him. That was one of his two biggest moves that he's made as general manager. The other one, of course, trading for Russ, which does not look great right now. So he wants Nathaniel Hackett to succeed. Now, it may not matter because George Payton's boss, Greg Penner, may come in and say, yep, we're moving on from him no matter what. But I think what needs to happen, so I think Nathaniel Hackett is going to be given a little leeway more from the organization than from fans, because in so many fans' perspective, I think there's nothing he could do. But I do think there's a path. I think if the offense becomes an average offense the rest of the season, and I'm not saying that they average at the end of the season an average offense. I'm saying you take these next these last seven games, and if the offense scores 21 points a game, averages out to that, That's about the NFL average. I think Nathaniel Hackett will have a good chance of coming back because probably if they do that, the Broncos will be about 500 in these last seven games, maybe 4-3, and then their record will be okay, you know, 7-10. It's better than the 3-6 start that they've had, and I know a lot of fans don't want to hear that. But again, at some point, you do have to have consistency. And so if Nathaniel Hackett shows enough from the offensive standpoint where they win some games, get a little momentum going into next year, then that's how he keeps this job.
Does the locker room, the staff, I mean, from your sense, what you're getting, do they believe in Russell Wilson? I mean, Hackett's one thing, but do they really believe in this guy? Because, Zach, I'm looking at the future going, if it continues down this path, how are you going to keep free agents? How are you going to get free agents? That becomes an issue of, like, Russ isn't only bad, he's bad for business.
Yeah, 100%, Brady. But the Broncos, unfortunately, with that contract extension they gave Russ, don't really have a choice. And so players 100% believed in him coming into this year, and they had every right to. He had only had success. But players are still drawing on his past to believe in him. But right now I don't want to say you're getting a divided locker room, but you're getting a locker room that they're hopeful that Russ comes around now. And I mean, we heard Justin Simmons talk about it yesterday. He said, you know, when the offense comes around, it'll be exciting, but we need to continue to do our job. So they're still very much focusing on their defensive side because they know that that they still have to pull this team because no one really expects this offense to come out and be the Chiefs and average 30 points a game the rest of the way.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I would be pumped to see, you know, north of 15 at this point. I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah. But it'd be an improvement.
It would, yeah, no question. Zach, talk to us about the injuries. Obviously, we can throw Hackett and talk about George Payton and how much, you know, he's on the line for this, Russell Wilson. But the fourth thing in this whole dynamic is the injury bug has been, I mean, damn near unprecedented.
Yeah, it really has been. The Broncos have the most players on the IR. They have the most cap space on the IR. And even some players not on IR aren't practicing right now. Graham Glasgow, Jerry Jeudy, they're day-to-day hopeful that they're going to play this week, but they did not practice yesterday, which isn't a great sign. And Brady, think about this. There's five starting offensive linemen. The way the Broncos ended the game on Sunday, three of the five positions were third stringers on the offensive line at three of the positions. If they have to roll out that group again, how can really anyone have success with that? That's going to be so tough, especially going against a bad Raiders defense, but the Raiders do have one really good player, and that's Max Crosby coming off the edge. Going up against two third-string tackles would be so tough, but there is hope. Graham Glasgow, like I said, day-to-day, so he could play at center. And then you have two tackles that could potentially come back. You have Cam Fleming, who could be the left tackle this week. He did practice yesterday. And then Tom Compton, a guy that no Broncos fan has seen play yet this year. But when they brought him in the offseason, they wanted him to compete for the starting right tackle job. And he's probably as good as any right tackle the Broncos have. He can also, Nathaniel Hackett really wants him to play for the first time this year. So those would be big boosts for the offense.
Well, it's going to be an interesting game between two head coaches that are certainly on the hot seat, and we shall see what happens. Zach, what are you working on that we can check out from you later on with DMVR Broncos?
Man, just following these injuries, because Brady, I think those three injuries I just talked about are going to be the difference in the game. If the Broncos have one or two of those guys, they really should win this game. The Raiders' defense is awful. Now, Raiders fans will say, well, the Broncos' offense is awful. They're right about that, but the Broncos' defense is playing so well. The only team they've given up more than 20 points to is the Raiders. I think the Broncos' defense is going to want to prove a point that was just a one-time fluke. And so the Broncos really should win this game at home, but not if they have three third-string offensive linemen.
No question about it. Zach, my man, appreciate your time as always. You stay warm out there. Be careful on those roads, and we'll catch up with you soon, my friend.
Right on. Appreciate you, Brady.
All right, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, had to get running a little bit early because he needs to get over to practice to, really just to see what the injury situation is like for this team. And I don't know, Angel, I watch Nathaniel Hackett in his press conferences, you know, the last 2 days, and I mean, don't you just get the sense that it just feels like dead man walking at this point? I mean, he says the right things, you know. He's like, hey, everybody's coaching for their job on a weekly basis, which isn't true. Andy Reid is not coaching for his job this weekend. But he looks beaten down, man. He looks like he's searching for answers and is really struggling finding them.
Yeah, it feels very doom and gloom right now, and I guess the weather kind of helps with that feeling, but I'm interested to see how this team just pulls together. I watched a little bit of Russell's press conference. He's still smiling, still having a good time. You see Broncos social media. They're out in the locker room recording guys having fun. So you like to see that. They're not just down on themselves and just, you know, going through the motions. So I think this is a game they think they can win. But obviously, like Zach said, you got to be healthy for it.
Have to find a way to win it. I mean, you just do. I mean, we've been saying that for the last few weeks, but I think it's all coming to a head at this point for Nathaniel Hackett especially. I don't know what necessarily the gain is in firing Hackett after the Raiders game if they lose, but it sure seems like, you know, they lose to the Raiders. The Raiders are a dead man walking type situation too. I mean, Josh McDaniels is making Derek Carr cry. Derek Carr doesn't cry for anything other than, you know, going to church and stuff. And now he's crying on the podium because of the situation for this Raiders team. So they are beaten down, and, you know, it's kind of going back to the Colts situation. Hell, dude, they were bad when the Broncos played them. They couldn't figure anything out. Matt Ryan was like, that looked terrible, yet the Broncos found a way to lose that game. So I don't know how to feel about this game on Sunday. No idea.
Numb.
Yeah, exactly. Last time out, the Broncos played this team. Defensively, they struggled against the run. Jacobs went off for over 100 yards on this team. That was, you know, one of the talking points. But the Raiders game was Russ's, probably collectively, his best game. So can we see that a little bit again? And right now, you're just desperate to see some kind of basic offensive gains, basic offensive production. And it is really hard to do that when your offensive line is as depleted as it is. Your injuries are just stacking up left and right. And that's not an excuse, because this team was rough before. But now it's like, now you're trying to get this right. You're trying to figure this out. And here we sit. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Eastside Chris says, I'm sticking with my conspiracy theory. Can you break this down? I sure will try. Wilson did not like Pete's way, wants divorce. Team 3 Sierra find out through their circle of super rich in the know people, the Waltons with the deepest of pockets in the NFL will purchase the Broncos. Signs with the Broncos, gets the largest NFL contract, demanding the deal be resolved prior to the start of the season. Then just does high knees on the plane while everyone is conked out. Therefore, no one knows if Wilson actually did them. Show me the money, something to think about. Well, first off, Russ didn't have control of being traded to the Broncos. So that, you know, if Seattle said, no, Russ, you're staying in Seattle, then that's it. He doesn't have a say in where he goes and what he does. But some of that stuff, I mean, yeah, if you're Russ, get
traded
there.
I like the high
knees
theory.
Yeah, maybe he didn't do them.
Maybe that's why he said everyone was knocked out, because he wasn't actually doing it.
If a tree falls down in the woods and you're not there to hear it, does it actually make a sound? And if Russ says he does high knees but nobody's there to witness it, does he actually do them?
I didn't hear from any other players saying he was doing that.
You'd think you'd hear that, too.
Right.
You know, Tanner tries to do high knees.
I woke up from a nap and saw Russell doing something in the aisle.
Yeah. I mean, Tanner says he does high knees and all these workouts and stuff, but nobody's ever seen him exercise. Does he actually do it? I don't know.
I think he does it during the breaks in the morning show.
19 minutes after the hour. You know what's better than Maction, Angel? Early late morning basketball. The CU Buffs are getting set to play UMass. The UMass Minutemen coming up at 11:30. The Buffs are 5-point favorites. This tournament is interesting. This Myrtle Beach, I've been there before. It's a beautiful place. This tournament will tell us a little bit about the Buffs, in the fact that, are they the team that beat Tennessee, or are they the team that lost to Grambling? Who are these Colorado Buffaloes? I'll tell you what, though. After talking to Mark yesterday, this Buffs team's going to be set for a while. I mean, how is Tad doing this? And the players that are getting recruited and signing with this team are all saying the same thing. We love Tad Boyle. We love his approach. He's hard but fair. You know, he's a good guy. He's reasonable, but he's not like a pushover. Tad Boyle is like the perfect coach, Buffs fans, basketball fans in the state, need to bow down to Mr. Tad Boyle. 20 minutes after 11 o'clock, let's take a short break. When we come back, let's talk about the state of college hoops in the area, where the CU Buffs are at this stage. CSU's undefeated. They got South Carolina coming up, the Gamecocks, but it is an even pick 'em right now. I'll tell you right now, I'm excited about the Rams, but I don't trust them. We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. The Buffs are getting set to go up against UMass here at 11:30 as a part of the Myrtle Beach Invitational. I have a Myrtle Beach story for you, Angel. Did you watch Tiger King?
Yes.
You did. Okay, so the guy, one of the Tiger Lords or whatever, the guy that was like in Florida, the bigger dude that mm-hmm. had the elephants and like 15 wives or whatever, he would ship a bunch of his, he would deal with a lot of places around, you know, the Carolinas and all that stuff, and you'd see his tigers there. And on the documentary, it's like, if you saw these tigers kind of around the East Coast, the ligers and all that stuff and around for as attractions, there's a good chance they came from that guy. Oh, I saw those tigers, dude. I was there in Myrtle Beach, and they're like, it was sad because they're in cages lined up like on the strip kind of deal or the boardwalk, and there's giant monster tigers. And now that I look back, I'm like, dude, those are probably from that Tiger King. Not the Tiger King, but one of the Tiger King dudes. Wow. It's sad. It's crazy. What do you think of that?
I don't know. That is so long ago in my memory, it seems, when I watched Tiger King.
Did that come out during COVID?
It was like right at the beginning of COVID.
I just remember at that point because the world felt like it was just going to hell in a handbasket, and everyone's like, Tiger King's not the hero we need right now. He's the one we deserve.
Carol Baskin.
That show was like, it was a fringe. We were all obsessed with it.
It's all we had to watch. And then it was now, that and then Michael Jordan.
And then that was actually like good and still good. Tiger King is like, why did I do that? You know, that was terrible. It was so depressing. It was so sad. But we all watched it and I was like hooked. I was absolutely hooked to it. And then they made they're making like a TV, like a show.
I think they're doing another season of Tiger King.
Oh, they are. They're doing
probably another movie or something.
Who was in the wrong there? Carol Baskin or?
I think it was Carol.
Tiger King.
She killed her husband.
She chopped him
fed
up.
Fed him to the tigers.
Put him in the thing for the tigers. That's in bye-bye guy. Feed him to the tigers. No longer. 28 minutes after the hour. How are we feeling about college basketball in this state right now? Because, you know, we had a lot of hope. I think coming into the season, hoping that basketball would be a million times better than what we were seeing in football. It's been a mixed bag right now. The UNC Bears, it's unfair to evaluate this team because they went up against Houston and Baylor, and they're playing a lot of freshmen. So I think they're going to be good.
They're winning the game they're supposed to win and losing the ones they're supposed to lose.
Right, and so you can't and losing by a big margin, but again, for two reasons, it's Houston and Baylor.
They looked better in that Baylor game, too.
They did. But UNC is going to go through growing pains. They're going to be playing a lot of freshmen. So that is something that you have to use to evaluate this team early on. You know, I even talked to Coach Smiley a bit about that last week. I was like, I get what you're—he was like, hey, it's a learning process. We've got a lot of freshmen. We want to get in playing time and get going so that they're ready for conference play. That's what they did with Bodie Hume. If you'll remember, Jeff Linder was the head coach here, and Bodie Hume ended up being the Big Sky Conference Freshman of the Year. He wasn't great right off the bat. Linder flat out said on this show, as the Bears coach, he said, I told Bodie, you can't be a freshman. You don't have that luxury. You cannot be a freshman. You have to grow up quickly. And he really did that year. He became really good in the big once they got into conference play.
Was that also the year they went in the tournament and he went off for like those couple 30-point games?
Maybe. I know he did it once like 2 years ago. Because he had a rough season, and then suddenly in the conference tournament, he went 30-30. But I don't
it
know.
It was the one game they played before the tournament got canceled.
Yeah, probably right. Yeah, because that's his freshman year, they canceled it. That's right. Because
they had played one game, and then they were scheduled to play Wednesday, and it got canceled.
That's right. So Bodie was a freshman when COVID first hit, so like March or whatever. And then Smiley was hired, and that was the full-on COVID. Like, oh, boy. It's hard to keep all that straight.
That was a weird year.
It was a very weird year. Like I said, the year of the Tiger King, 2020. It was nuts. For CSU, they're 3-0. They're beating the teams they're supposed to beat. Unlike UNC, their non-conference schedule does matter. You know, I mean, potentially, if there's an at-large opportunity, getting wins like this is big. I still don't think the Rams are an at-large team. I think they're going to have to win the Mountain West Conference Tournament. But you're 3-0 to start the season without Isaiah Stevens, who we'll hear from tomorrow on the Isaiah Stevens Show. Right now, it's about staying above water. If you can do that before you get into conference play, I think you're going to be feeling really good about your situation. Because I think Isaiah is going to, once he gets back, assuming he can bounce back from that injury relatively quickly, will be very, very good. And this team could make some noise in the conference and in the tournament. As for CU, they're 2-1. They lost to Grambling, but they beat Tennessee, who was what, 11th at the time? I think the Buffs are a good team. I think they're going to smoke UMass here coming up at 11:30. I don't know much about UMass. I just know that the Buffs are going to be good. The Buffs are going to be better than I thought. That Tennessee, you don't just beat a team like that. And it wasn't a buzzer beater or anything. The Buffs came out. I mean, it was close at the half. And then the Buffs just outscored Tennessee big time in the second and got away with, like, what, a 12-point win. So it's not an accident. So I'll be curious to see this game coming up here shortly. I believe it's on ESPNU. Is that right? For the Myrtle Beach Invitational coming up for the Buffs. 32 minutes after the hour, the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Whose seat is hotter, Josh McDaniels or Nathaniel Hackett's? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. And when I say that, you don't tell me who you think should be fired. Tell me actually whose seat is hotter. Like, who has the real chance of being fired at this point? Is it McDaniels? Everything we've heard about, they don't have enough money, the budget's weird, and it might not make sense for them to hire or to fire him right now. So you have to take that into account. Whose seat is hotter at this point? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Nathaniel Hackett's getting 66% of the votes, while McDaniels is getting 33%, which is crazy because I think Broncos country is ready to vote McDaniels off, but you're also looking at the optics of the situation. The Raiders, it doesn't make fiscal sense to fire Josh McDaniels. For the Broncos, fiscal sense, dude, Rob Walton owns the Broncos, so that doesn't matter.
I mean, how many buyouts have the Raiders had in the last 10 years?
Yeah, man. I mean, they're still dealing with the Gruden stuff. They're still dealing with that.
I mean, they gave him that, like, what, 10-year contract?
It's a
they're still paying
deal.
Off.
Still paying that off. Who signs someone to 10 years? Who signs a coach in this day and age to 10 years?
The Raiders.
The Raiders. It's Broncos Raiders week. And you know what? When crap started to hit the fan, the Broncos had won 2 in a row and then lost to the Raiders. And then since then, obviously, it's been shaky. Maybe this game is going to be the opposite. They go beat the Raiders, and then they put together a nice little 4-game winning streak. How about that? We'll talk about all that next. 33 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Buffs and the Minutemen coming up on ESPNU very shortly, so we'll certainly keep you updated. Right now, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Let's go. Buffs up 8-4. Shut her down. See you. You starting? Who are you most excited about? And I know you're a Bears fan, Angel. You are a Bear like me. But, like, just looking at these teams and you go, man, who's going to have the more thrilling season? Who's going to really have a chance to do something exciting within their respective conferences and whatnot. Who are you most excited about?
I think it's CU. I'm really intrigued to see if they can really compete in the Pac-12 and kind of establish themselves. And if you establish yourself well enough with all these recruits coming in, you make a little bit of a dynasty, maybe.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is already like a good team every year. They're going to there's always a chance that they're going to get into March Madness. But with all these recruits coming up, that five-star kid.
They got another four-star kid last week, I think.
Who was that?
I'd have to look him up, but I know they got another one.
I mean, this is ridiculous. And when you hear them talk, they're all saying the same thing. Like, we want to be here. This is a winning culture. This is a winning environment. And Tad is a very, very good coach, and we're excited to be here. So, pretty high on this Buffs team right now. 40 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from the night that was. Or whatever. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Well, the good for me, who needs Maction when you have Morction? Morning action. Yeah. What, was that, does that work for you? No? Morction?
Doesn't hit as well.
Doesn't hit as well as Maction does. But the Buffs are playing right now. I think CSU's playing later on at 3:30 today. So, throughout the day, enjoy some local basketball. Let's go with the bad here. I'm going to say last night in this game against the Knicks, without Nikola Jokic, without Aaron Gordon, to me it was the final two possessions in this game, seeing Jamal Murray, and again, who was having a really good game, but the last two possessions, it's dribble, 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 iso ball. And especially that last shot, you have 10 seconds left, you're down three, you get it out to Jamal, and he just dribbles at the top of the key, pounding the boards, man. And then he throws up a contested shot. Wasn't a great shot. Obviously, it goes in, it's a great shot, but got to see something more creative than that.
Yeah, you expected a bit of a drop-off without Jokic, and especially without Gordon. I think his impact so far this season really showed last night, because he didn't have that physical score down low. And then, you know, you have a chance to win the game or even tie the game at that point, and you just can't get it done without Jokic. And I imagine we're not going to have many games without Jokic, hopefully.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a tough loss at home. That hurts, but move on.
Yeah, it's not like sky is falling or anything like that. Without two of your starters who have been so important, obviously the two-time MVP, but Aaron Gordon has been a very important cog to this machine that is the Denver Nuggets. The ugly for me is MPJ. You and I both were like, hey, opportunity. Go for 30. Prove that you can create. He's minus eight. He had 5 points. He didn't shoot it in the second half. Didn't shoot the basketball. How is Michael Porter Jr. not shooting the basketball in the second half?
It really felt like the old MPJ when he shoots early, misses, and then just disappears.
Yeah,
I've said it before with Michael. Every start of the game, his first three possessions should be at the basket. Drive to the basket, get a foul, lay up,
see
the ball go in the net. Because I think that's his biggest flaw.
Yeah.
If he doesn't see it go in early, he just gets, you know, stage fright and just can't shoot it.
He's got to be a creator.
But he is a shooter. Just keep shooting.
Without,
you're going to make them eventually.
Without Joker, I looked at this. I mean, I shouldn't have gotten crazy about the 30, but the reason I was hesitant was like, okay, how does Porter do without Joker? And I guess I just thought maybe at this point he's grown a lot and he could create, you know, 5 points. And again, 1 for 8, 1 of 6, and then he just shut her down in the second half. So that's going to be on Michael Malone to instill some of that confidence in this guy more and more every single night. I mean, Jamal Murray was fine. 21 points, 6 assists, 9 boards. It was just those last two possessions. You're up 10 in the fourth, though. Listen, I wasn't going to be shocked if they lost to the Knicks. The Knicks are a 500 team, and you're playing a team without two of their studs. So I wasn't, like, disappointed that they lost, but you're up 10, and one of your key scorers isn't shooting the ball. And Jamal, I think the ball got sticky a little bit in those last two possessions, and you got to work on that. And Jamal's not there yet. He can create, but he's not there yet where he can really create something special.
We talked about it. Jamal, like, he had his back game last week, but he's still not fully back yet, and I think we saw that in those pressure moments late in the game where he maybe doesn't feel completely comfortable with his shot yet or his shot creating, and he's just, you know, he's got to get past that, and that's the next hurdle for him is, okay, I've done it in the first half. Can I do it when my teammate's out, Michael's not shooting well. I need to turn it on in a pressure moment.
That's when you look to him. And will he become that guy? Sure, I believe so. I still think he's ahead of schedule. But, yeah, who is that guy if Joker? Because the other night when Joker was in foul trouble, I mean, everybody stepped up and played. So I was kind of hoping to see more of that against the Knicks. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Dixon says they really missed Gordon not guarding Randall. And, yeah, Gordon has put himself, because he's playing like Aaron Gordon should, right? He is starting to play that tough nose, that tough brand of basketball that we really want to see. We don't want to see him settling for three. So, and his defense down low has been exceptional. So without him, that was a big loss too. Maybe if he's in that game, you win. Because the starters, you go with Jeff Green, Michael Porter Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Jamal Murray, and KCP. I thought maybe they'd go small, but they can't really, I guess, against the Knicks. But that's tough. I mean, Jeff Green is not Aaron Gordon. He's just not even close. So yeah, they missed him. What's the status right now? Have we heard about Joker at this point? Because Bones Highland was questionable for a minute, and then suddenly, boom, he's okay. We don't know how, like, is it just he had a high temperature or something? And then they said, now we got to have the safety and protocols here. We got to be careful. Is the NBA still really in that COVID safety protocol situation?
It's interesting. Obviously, I think the vaccination status has something to do with that. I won't speculate on Jokic's status of that, but you never know. They are so secretive with these kind of injuries and illnesses that they can't really tell you exactly what it is. So we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, so here's what I just went on and looked at a few things here. Malone said he does not expect Gordon to be available for the team's next game, which is Friday in Dallas.
Oof. It's a back-to-back in Dallas.
Too. Yikes. He does not expect Joker to be available for the game Friday either.
Yikes.
So Gordon and Joker likely out for both of those games, going up against the Mavs. And you know, that was going to be a tough game. Tough two games, no matter what. But without your studs, without two of your studs, again, I mean, I don't know, man. Dallas is a really good basketball team. Obviously, Luka is just on a tear. So how will that impact the next game or two? Do they make the trip? Because they're going, both these games are in Dallas, right? Do they make that trip? Because what's after that? I mean, probably need to, because, let's see, you're at, well, I guess you could just not have them make the trip and have them play against Detroit. Just wait at home, wait in Denver for that to happen. But now there's no cause for concern for me right now. But we want to continue to see the growth of Michael Porter Jr. Not so much Jamal. Yeah, I didn't like the last two possessions, but I'm not sweating that. Michael Porter Jr., you've seen it. That 30-point game that he had the other night, you look and go, that's what this guy is capable of. He shows so many flashes of that you really are just desperate to see. You're desperate to get rid of the flashes. I want to just see consistent, aggressive Michael Porter Jr. Like, I agree with you. See if you can get him going early, getting aggressive early, getting down in the paint and forcing the issue. Yeah, I want to see that from him. 48 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. Buffs up 15-13. 13 minutes left in the first half up against UMass. And we'll see if they can hang on to this. Take a quick break. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. Live from the Allo Communications Studios, it's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
A nice smothered burrito sounds really good on this cold, snowy Thursday. Check out Cable's Pub and Grill Fiesta Thursdays, smothered burritos for $10.99, house margaritas for just $4. Everything they do there, man, their food is just second to none at Cable's Pub and Grill, and they're always doing specials. Write those days down, man. I mean, there's always, every day, something unique. And today is no different. Smothered burritos for $10.99. House margaritas for $4 at Cable's Pub and Grill. What'd you think of the messaging, you know, with listening to Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett? It's weird because it simplifies it maybe too much, but I listen to the messaging from both head coach and the quarterback, and I think, well, there's the problem. I mean, you have a coach with one idea and a player with the other. Here's Nathaniel Hackett on what the identity is of this offense.
It's not a good one. It hasn't been a very successful offense, and we have a lot of things that we want to get better at, and we want to be sure that we continue those opportunities for the guys and continually get better options for the guys. And for us right now, a lot of improvement to be able to gain that identity.
Okay. You got a lot of improvement to gain that identity. I guess, you know, I like that it was kind of a raw emotion from him. I get that. But I also want to hear, like, what do you want the identity to be? Like, what are things that you're, what are you really working this identity to be? Is it, you know, if Javonte Williams back in the day before he got hurt, is this going to be more of a run game that's setting up Russell Wilson in this passing attack? What is this identity? And then you hear Russell Wilson, you know, because we've all talked about it, whether you're the most, you know, green of football fans, you watch it and go, man, they're out of the shotgun a lot. They always run out of the shotgun. Why don't they run out under center? Well, Russell's making it sound like they kind of do. It's all a mixed bag.
Well, we've mixed it up. I think each game dictates itself, you know, based on what the defense, who the defense is, who they have on defense, everything else. Yeah, I think all of that's good. You know, I enjoy being under center. I enjoy being the gun. I enjoy just being out there. You know, it doesn't matter.
But it's pretty lopsided.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, it's pretty lopsided,
yeah.
And it hasn't worked.
Yeah, I think that it doesn't necessarily mean that everything under center is going to work always, too, and it doesn't mean anything in the gun doesn't work. You know, I think you got to be able to do it all, like you're saying. I think you're exactly right. You know, you got to be able to mix it up and be under, be in the gun. You know, a lot of times, you know, in the NFL these days, a lot of guys are in the gun a lot of times, and that's just how the game has kind of evolved, I think, over the history of the game. But I do think that essence, that feeling of being under is good, too. You know, those downhill runs, those quick passes, those balls down the field, all that, too. It really challenges the defense. So
why not do that then? Like, say you're saying what we've all been saying. Why not run under center more, downhill running type situation? We've all kind of said that maybe this team should really look into that. But time and time again, we've seen shotgun, run from the shotgun. It was really bad early on. But I mean, Russ is kind of like, you know, we've been doing that stuff. And then you hear Hackett, who's like, all right, identity's not good. We're really desperate to find it. Hackett's kind of raw, more real about how the state of the situation, and Russ is still kind of puppies and kittens. And that, to me, is a way to, obviously simplifying it, but I look at that and go, well, that's one of the weird problems right there. They don't sound consistent with their own messaging. And is that playing out on the field? Where Hackett's like, dude, we're struggling. We got to try something new here. And Russell's like, no, this will work. Let's do this. And that's not good. It's not getting any better. And, you know, when your question is, hey, what is the identity of this offense? It's not good. Well, what do you want it to be? What's the goal here? What kind of offense do you want to be? Short passes? Run game? I mean, what is it? We'll talk more about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKI.